Welcome back to Seat Time, everybody, doing another fun interview on the internet. I am Brian Pierce, for those who have no idea who I am, and tonight we have Nick Ferringer. Nick Ferringer, that's not just a name that you may not know how to pronounce. It's Ferringer. Seriously, though. But Nick, it looks like you might happen to be right in front of the same curtain, maybe even the same spot that we saw Russell Bobbitt in last week. Would that be true?
This is true. This is my kitchen. Russell was here in between some races we had up north. I got to put up with him and our Australian friend Jeff Braco for a while in between races, so it's a good time.
Absolutely. I can only imagine. Those two guys are pretty big characters, as well as yourself. You're quite the character as well. So what was the most amazing thing that happened with all three of you guys together? I mean, that you could tell me about. We'll go ahead and keep it clean. You know, a little PG.
No, it's pretty much always a scene. I mean, no matter where we go, I mean, two dirty white boys in Australia, and it's with everybody's personality together. It's anytime we go to a restaurant, it's funny. Just coming up with different stories for wait staff, and I mean, people are going to ask questions when we're all together, so it's funny. But the most fun I think we had was between after the Wyoming National Enduro, we all went to Colorado for a mountain biking trip, and took one day off in the mountains just screwing around and just really just making fools of ourselves and just having a good relaxing time. And then spent a couple days downhill mountain biking, and that was just an unreal experience that I'm going to have to do that again, because I think it transformed my dirt riding, really. I mean, it was awesome.
Well, it's funny because one of the questions I was actually going to ask later on was about that, but I don't mind. Let's talk about it right now. So, reading different blogs and things, it seems like you dead sailored quite a few jumps while you guys were in Colorado. Is that actually your style, or is do you just not know how to jump a mountain bike? What's the truth here?
I think you're referring to the interview with Jeff Braco where he referred to me as a squid jumper, and I think I acquired that name after, first running into the guy. We did some riding, and we realized I couldn't jump. It was pathetic. And then you go on this mountain bike trip, and it really quickly started transforming how I jumped. I learned how to do some, better. I mean, I didn't come from a background of jumping, from trail riding. So
right.
Jumping on this mountain bike and hucking jumps, trying to keep up with these guys down the mountain, it was fun. And I learned how to scrub and throw the thing around a little bit. And so I think I impressed both the guys, knowing that I couldn't jump and came into it. And I was hanging right there, and we were just having a good time. So I got the name. There was this big rock jump, probably a 20-foot gap down the mountain, rock to rock, and I probably shouldn't have tried it, but I did, and I came up short, and I didn't wreck, but it was sketchy, so just, I think I lost some credit right there.
That's okay. Yeah. Well, what resort were you guys actually at mountain biking?
We went to Winter Park, Colorado, and spent a day. I think we did 12 to 14 runs down the mountain there. Just completely exhausted ourselves, went and stayed at a friend's condo. Then the next day we went to Keystone and did as many runs as we could handle, and I think that was maybe 8. It was a bigger mountain. It was beautiful out there. The riding's unreal, and it's cool just showing up with nothing but some gear and renting a bike and thrashing it and bringing it back broke, and it's good.
You're like, all right, day's over. Here you go. I appreciate it. Out.
Yeah,
I can only imagine that's a lot of fun. I've actually ridden at both of those places. Both times I've brought my own bike. So every time I crashed it, unfortunately, I was fixing whatever it was that I broke. But if that's the case, we're going to have to figure out a way to do some mountain biking downhill next year. I think that's going to have to happen. You all right with that?
Yeah. It's something that's on my calendar. It's, as far as I can see, every year I'm going to be doing it. So
nice. Well, something that not happening in the future, hopefully, is the fact that this past weekend you were in Indiana racing round 7 of the OMAs, and you came away with another impressive third place finish, but you did have some back and forth with Jordan Ashburn until he was out of the race. And, we just kind of wanted to know how the race went. Tell us, kind of like about the terrain and how it's what it's going to be to take to beat Whibley.
Okay, yeah, well, the terrain, obviously, southern Indiana is more hilly than most people would, I think, expect, because when you think of Indiana, you probably think of flat cornfields. this was, kind of Kentucky region down there, so it was hilly, wooded. We had some good grass track sections because there still are some fields, but just this drought we've been in all year really kind of wreaked havoc on the track. The soil was dry and powdery. Hmm. Even with some rain we had the night before, it just, we were racing the dust most of the day. But the race itself got off to a good start. Russell Bobbitt got the whole shot, and Paul was right on his tail, but somehow I ended up sweeping in and pulled some grass track shenanigans and got in front of Paul and made it through a creek and up a hill in front of him. So I tried to hold him off for as long as I could, but he means business. And not to say I don't, just I got arm pumped and swapped out, stuffed in some bushes, and around me he went, and I think he was focused on passing Russell as soon as he can. So from that point on, my race was pretty much over because he got away from me, and then Jordan caught up, and I was still dealing with the arm pump and couldn't deal with him for much longer. He found a really sweet line in the woods, so I was pretty much left with fourth place. But I guess whatever happened with him, I heard his front wheel came apart, so you know, that was unfortunate for him. You know, I got to inherit third. I don't really consider a place when I inherit it like that. It's just like, you know, I got fourth.
So. Yeah, it's to finish first, you first have to finish. So that is part of racing, especially in off road. But you're right, it's not the way you want to get a place.
No. But you know, the way the race shaped up, I lost a bunch of time dealing with just getting pumped up, which something I've always dealt with my whole racing career. I thought I was over it. I found a way to get rid of it, and it got me this race. It happens, but actually, looking at the lap times, I knew I was riding well halfway through the race, and my lap times towards the end of the race, actually, I was catching up to Russell and to Paul. Not to say I was I was on pace by the time the race was over. And if anything, that's what means the most to me, is if I'm having a bad day, to bring it together before the race is over, prove something to myself to know that next round I can do it. I messed up this time, and I have to do it next time.
Yeah, dude, totally understandable. You mentioned that towards the end of the race you were kind of picking up. Is that something that you find might be because of the fact that you're an enduro rider, or a trail rider and enduro rider mainly, and you kind of do hair scrambles every now and again, that you maybe kind of come in late and have more energy? Or is it just, you were just really starting to get into your stride?
I think I was getting into my stride, because really, coming from an enduro background, that doesn't really bring with it riding a track well, lap in and lap out. That's being a GNCC, being a motocross rider maybe. I typically have never learned tracks very well, but I'm starting to get a little bit smarter with my racing and realize that, a bad line is going to be a bad line every lap. So just sometimes I get tunnel vision and I'll take that same crappy line, lap in and lap out, but I'm getting smarter, and I as the race develops, I change what I'm doing to get faster. And, I think I'm in the best shape of my life, and that's rivaling some of the top riders out there. But Paul's a workhorse. I know he's in shape because I've seen him after a race. I know how I feel after a race sometimes, and it makes me strive to dig deeper week in and week out to get in better shape.
Nice. Well, in the National Enduro Series, you've actually been getting better results, and so I would say week in, week out, you have been getting those results that you're talking about. So you got third place at the last Rattlesnake Enduro. Take us through a little bit of that. How did that weekend go for you, and how have you been finding a little bit more consistent, a little bit better placings?
Really just a little bit of everything. Obviously, last year I had my knee injury, and I was confident after coming off of some back-to-back wins. I was like, I'll be right back winning again once I get better. I've got it all figured out. Well, 4 months off a bike, you lose a lot. I really underestimated what that was going to do to me. So through the series, just getting comfortable again, getting confidence, getting in shape, relearning how to ride a motorcycle. I mean, literally, it's a long road. But so going into Pennsylvania last year, I think I won that race by like 58 seconds. So I was feeling real confident about just that particular event. And I started off maybe like 15 seconds off the pace in section one, and I've come back from a lot worse than that. So as the day developed, I was riding pretty cautiously. We got hammered with rain, and that's a rocky, rugged track. So last thing I'm going to do is ball it up in the first couple of laps, slide out on some rocks. So I think I won section 4 and 5. And I think by that point I had seen the scores and realized, okay, I'm right there, but I know I'm being cautious. So something clicked in my head. I turned it on, and I won the fourth test. And the fifth test was that 10-mile just gnarly boulder rock garden section with some just really twisty, brutal stuff that I mean, it was on the verge of demented. It was pretty cool. So I had a pretty good wreck in there, and I thought I just, you know, every time you wreck, like, oh, I threw it away, but you know, you still keep trying because, you know, if you have a wreck, chances are the other guys have a wreck too. So
yeah,
going into that last section, I knew I was still down by, I don't know, maybe 20 seconds. Just I throw out random chunks of time out there, something, an obtainable amount of time I can, you know, I've come back from, there goes that cuckoo clock.
Cuckoo!
I've come back from, you know, bigger gaps, but I threw all common sense out the window in that last section, and I went way too hard, and I actually ended up going off the track and just getting stuck in a big pile of logs, basically, and I'm sitting there just holding my bike wide open, just trying to fling it out, just, wow, I just did that. So,
well, that's okay. We've all been there.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks I did that, and, you know, to say that didn't happen, I would have won, that's not right, because realistically, you know, Stu and Mike were just railing that day, and maybe I wasn't quite ready, so if anything, that was like a reality check, like, hey, don't ride like an idiot.
Yeah, well, as a reality check, I mean, I would think as well, this was a very consistent finish for you. You got third at the Enduro before the Rattlesnake. You got third at the Rattlesnake. Is there a win coming up in the, you know, in the little amount of races we have left this year? What do you think for 2012?
We've got three rounds left in the National Enduro Series, and you know, the next round is in Missouri, which is kind of rugged. It's something we haven't raced there. We didn't race there last year, so and I don't see why not. I'm feeling better and better every day. Just literally everything's been going good. So I'd like to say yes, but I'm not gonna put pressure on myself. If it happens, it happens. If not, then, you know, it's improvement. So whatever happens, I'll make the best of it.
Something that I know you can make the best of is a 2013 Husaberg. So before we talk about it a little bit, I want to know what bike are you riding right now? I just saw the models for the 2013, but what model Husaberg are you riding?
I'm on the TE300.
The TE300. So you are on the 300 two-stroke.
Correct.
Okay, and then did you choose the 300 over the 250?
I've never ridden the 250.
Ridden a 250. Wow.
300 was the first bike to come in last year, and it was, you know, offered, Nick, do you want to race this? And I was like, I want to test it. And I tested it. And, like, you know, just here at my personal grass track, my little test track, I was just wicked faster on it. So I was like, all right, we'll go race it. And it worked out. I won three nationals in a row on it. So I figured, as is, that's what I'm going to race for 2012. And, you know, off to a rocky start, but I'm coming around on the bike. I know I can do better on it, so.
Right.
I just saw the 2013s posted online this morning, and I'm pretty stoked with what they look like.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because I as well saw the 2013s. I watched the video that happened. There looked like there was a guy that may have been you, but maybe since you just saw it posted today, it wasn't you. Was that you in the video?
No, I have not seen one in person, nor have I ridden one, so I'm just as curious and excited as you probably.
All right. Well, from what you saw today, what you read a little bit about, what are some of the things that does excite you about the 2013s?
You know, old new graphics are always pretty cool, but these bikes have just all new bodywork and plastics. It kind of sets the bike apart a little more than it has. I mean, it's really unique. So I see we have a new polymer subframe, which is going to be cool. I mean, I don't know anything about them except for what I read on the website, because they don't tell me anything. I wish I got like the inside scoop, or maybe I got to do some testing with them or something. But
they sent you the email or the link 2 hours before they posted it live, even.
Yeah. Hey, here's your new race bike.
Yeah, this is what you're gonna hopefully be riding next year. I did notice the polymer, the polycarbonate, whatever they call it, subframe. So you were saying they're trying to differentiate themselves a little bit. Now I think that you would mean from the KTMs. But that is definitely something that's different from the KTMs. They do not have that subframe. Obviously, from one thing I hear, the Husabergs have a different porting on their bikes versus the KTMs. And then they got a couple other little, you know, neat things going on, but the frames seem to be the updated 2012 KTM frames now for Husaberg. I mean, is that kind of what you saw when you were looking online today?
Yeah, it's just from what I've seen, it's definitely an updated frame version. Frame we've been working with is, you know, I love it, and I'm sure the upgrade is beneficial. I've talked to guys that have, you know, in the past went from one generation to the next generation frame, and, you know, they like it. So that's going to be an improvement. I think that the new subframe and bodywork is going to be an improvement as well with the new airbox. Obviously, I haven't haven't seen what that's going to look like, but you know, it's going to be a good change. And I think the biggest, I don't know anything about the tuning. I know Husaberg has their own individual, you know, everything from suspension to engine. It's a characteristic all its own. It is a totally different motorcycle, despite what people might be chatting about on the internet. It runs like a different animal, and it's good. For what I do with it, it's good.
Man, that's awesome. I would like to ride one. I have never had a chance. I have been on the 250 XC KTM, and then I just got the 300 XC 2013. So obviously I've kind of got some experience on the two strokes now, but I would like to ride a Husaberg to see if I could, you know, tell the difference. It would be interesting to see. So coming up, you already kind of hit me up for the mountain bike question, but coming forward, moving with the rest of the year, what are you looking forward to the most? Do you think that you're looking forward more to the enduros? Are there any kind of like the hard enduros that you're going to try to do more or maze? Like, what have you been having the most fun with?
I think I have the most fun going to OMAs because it's a laid back atmosphere. I mean, I've been traveling to most of them with Russell and with Jeff Braco, and it's fun because we go, it's not even like we're going racing. It's a road trip. We're going dirt bike riding, and then we show up to the track, and you know, we just kind of sit around and hang out. And I mean, it's not like we're not a race mode. We take it real serious, especially when we got Paul to try and dethrone. But you know, you can't take life too seriously. But then again, we go to the enduros, and you know, Russell and I are both title threats, or we have been. I think, you know, the points right now say something different just with the season we started out with. But so I have most fun racing the enduros because of just that's where my mind's at. That's what I've been doing for so long, and that racing enduro is giving me something that I can't get anywhere else. It's fun. But to mix it up, I did just submit my confirmation for the TKO NC Knockout today. So,
oh, well, that's exciting to hear. Tell me your thoughts on that, because I don't think you competed in that last year, did you?
No, last year I think was the first year they had it.
Yeah, the first inaugural. Yeah.
Yeah, couldn't come up with that word without messing it up. I've always really been interested in the extreme enduro type events, just because that's kind of my forte, really, is just thrashing through gnarly stuff. Last year I did the Extinction Race in Canada and just had a blast with it. So this year, I think TKO is the only North American extreme event, and just kind of last minute here, I'm like, I got to do something to challenge myself, because I'm with being a kind of out of the title contention for both series I'm racing in, I need something exciting. So
right,
I'm gonna go into that with, I mean, I want to win it.
That's awesome. Do you have any trials background? Do you have a trials bike, anything like that, that you might practice on or to bring out? Or do you have any other, are you just at this point you're like, I know I'm ready, I'm gonna go compete?
No, I'm gonna do it. I mean, you can ride on a trials bike to practice, but we're not racing one. I know guys like Graham Jarvis and even Cody Webb, they're just amazing trials riders, and they bring that technique onto a regular motorcycle, and they do amazing things. But when it comes race time, I mean, I know they're threats, but you know, I do some goofy stuff on a dirt bike, and yeah, I grew up just riding over stuff that you shouldn't ride over. I mean, really, I was told as a kid, does he know he's not supposed to be doing that on that bike, and just, you know,
make it work, right?
I bring that forward with my enduro skill and speed, and I have fun riding stuff. But it's just flat gnarly.
Awesome, man. Well, good luck. We definitely wish you the best of luck at that event. We were trying to make it that way, but some other things have kind of come up, and maybe make it another trip, trying to figure out where that's all going right now. Time off from work, since I have a real job, unfortunately, but I guess that's just the way it plays out. Well, so obviously you've got sponsors, you've got people you'd like to thank that have helped you out, or any kind of places where people can find you on the social web or on the internet. Go ahead and tell everybody now.
All right, yeah. I'd say visit my website, but I haven't updated that in a year. I've got too many irons in the fire, and that one I'm just not super concerned about at the moment.
I did try to stalk that thing a little bit today, and I was like, well, this is pretty much useless, except for the fact that it looks clean. So
yeah, I got to apologize for that. You know, I don't have any mechanical help. I don't have anybody driving my stuff around. So I'm pretty much a one-man team right now doing everything. So that's least of my concerns.
It's understandable.
I do want to thank the sponsors for keeping it rolling here. Definitely the factory Husaberg. It's been, you know, it's a great bike. They give great support. I couldn't do it without what they're doing for me. And then, you know, all the team sponsors like Dunlop, MotorX, Renthal. She's got a lot of personal sponsors too, like Powersport Graphics and WP USA Racing, Bell Helmets, Moose Racing for sure, Enduro Engineering. Everybody's been great. Dunlop Tires, they've got a new, some new stuff coming out. We got to try a new front tire in Pennsylvania. I think Russell commented on that. Minor things like that just really give you a little bit of an edge to help. So
we're going to call it the Bobinator. Bobinator.
I don't know. I heard that he wanted to take credit and give a name to that. So whatever it's called, it works. I don't care.
We'll just call it the Fuhringer. We'll call it the Fuhringer.
Whatever. It sticks.
Yeah, as long as it works. Does the tire work? Perfect. I don't care what you call it.
Yeah. So that, supposedly the FMF came out with a new exhaust. I don't know. I just, when I crush one, I get a new one. And Russell's like, is that new pipe? I was like, they don't tell me anything. And I was at the race the other day. I'm like, that thing works. It rips. I don't know that. And, I think my maintenance was slacking. My G2 throttle had some dirt in it. And Jeff, he was pitting for us. He's like, you want me to loop this up, mate? I was like, I don't care. He cleaned my throttle tube out. I was like, holy cow, I didn't realize how fast this bike was when the throttle opens up. So
he's like, man, did you clean my power valve too? Because this is awesome.
Basically. Actually, I'm doing that right now. That's what I'm doing in the shop. So.
Cool, man. Well, good luck putting your bike back together. I hate when all those parts, get apart, because sometimes you got a couple missing when you try to put it back together. So don't screw that up.
Yeah, you saw the state my workbench was on. You know there's some parts missing from something.
Yeah, there always is. It's quite unfortunate. But as long as nothing, jiggles loose later on, it's not the end of the world. It just makes you lighter and faster, right?
Yeah, as long as that wrist pin clip makes it in and the brake pads are
That's pretty much the way to work it. All right, dude. Well, we thank you very much for the time that you've spent with us tonight. It's definitely much appreciated. It's always good to learn more about the people that we look up to. For this interview, we'd like to thank FlyRacing.com again. They have been in the business for 15 years, and they just came out with their new 2013 line. So we want you to go check them out. FlyRacing.com is their website. They've been a big help to us and just kind of pushing us, giving us new ideas. So we want to say thank you very much to them. FlyRacing.com, where you can find us. SeatTime is SeatTime.co. We're on Facebook, Facebook.com/SeatTime. And as well, we're on Twitter, Twitter.com/SeatTime_CO. Whew, that is definitely a mouthful. Nick Ferringer, thank you very much for being here. We do appreciate the time. Where am I going to see you next? Where are we going to be at a high five in person?
We're going to be at a National Enduros coming up. There's 3 rounds left.
I think I'm going to make one of those. I'm going to try to do the G. I think I was telling Bob I'm going to try to do the GNCC and then last National Enduro. So that 3rd and 4th of November. So it might be a while. So don't get nervous, but we'll be able to hang out soon, okay?
All right. Well, hit us up after the last National Enduro. I'm sure there'll be time for hanging out after that. We'll be ready to
hang. We're ready to take that 1 week off before training starts back again.
It's ridiculous, man, but it's worth it. So.
Awesome, dude. Well, good luck. We'll see you out there. We'll definitely high-five in the future, all right, man?
All right.
And we'll always enjoy a pint full of awesome.
Definitely.
Later, Nick.
Thanks.